The first psalm. I thought it would be beneficial to go through this psalm together and consider what the psalmist begins with. You look at the volume of the psalms, you see what the first one is, and it starts with one word, which is what?
Blessed.
Blessed. Blessed. Now, what does blessed mean?
Touched by God.
Okay. We know that blessed means that somebody else is doing something to someone, right? It comes from outside of ourselves. Blessed, and it also means, it carries with the idea of happiness, of joy, of contentment. All of this comes from the word blessed. So it starts with a positive word, but then it takes a negative turn. And the negative turn is in the sense of what not to do. And in this verse 1, it gives three things, three action words. Can you tell me what they are? What's that?
Walk
is one of them. What's the next one?
Stand.
And the next one?
Sit.
So you got walk, you got stand, and you have sit, right? You know, it's interesting, if you go to the book of Ephesians, if you do a study on the book of Ephesians, you'll find that Ephesians talks about sit, walk, stand. You'll see those three words in Ephesians, and they really neatly divide up the book of Ephesians, but they go in the other direction than what Psalm 1 is giving us here. And so it says happy or blessed or content is the person who does not do certain things. And so we have the three things. They don't walk, they don't stand, and they don't sit. Well, you got to have something to go with those, right?
Lie down.
Lie down? Okay, that's what you're only left with lying down, are you? Okay, so what it says is, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So the first walk is, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So, that helped. What we need to do is define who are the ungodly.
People who are practicing sin.
Unbelievers.
Unbelievers.
Okay, unbelievers. Okay.
The devil.
The devil. He's ungodly, yeah.
For sure.
Is the word ungodly mentioned anywhere in the New Testament? Do you remember it being in the book of Romans chapter 5? In due time, while we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Well, if he died for the ungodly, that means he died for everybody, right? And we were once in that position. So the encouragement here is, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't take advice from the ungodly. Now, does that mean if somebody's not a Christian, you can't take any advice from them at any time?
Not
at all.
No? I mean, it's...
Concerning Jesus.
What's that?
Depends on what the advice is.
Okay.
If it's something not related to God, Christianity, or something. Possible.
Okay. There's some old people around that may not be Christians, but they've amassed some wisdom and how to do things. That you know, you can get some advice from that. But really, what it's saying is, don't take ungodly counsel. Don't take unspiritual counsel. And be very careful to listen to what's being said. And you're going to see that this is a progressive statement here. It starts with listening to ungodly counsel and responding to it. You see, it doesn't say just listening to it, but actually walking in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, don't take that counsel that would take you in the wrong direction. Are you subject to ungodly counsel?
24 hours a day.
Pardon me?
24 hours a day.
Okay. You live in this world, you're going to be constantly subject to ungodly counsel, aren't you? People are going to be giving you advice, or the TV. If you're going to watch television at all, you're going to get lots of ungodly counsel.
Whoa.
You are. When it comes to morality, boy, we don't live in a godly nation. Ungodly counsel is everywhere, and it's rampant to go in the wrong direction, to be immoral. Everybody's doing it, sort of thing.
Every new program that is coming out this fall,
yeah,
is going to be garbage.
It's going to be trash, no doubt.
Nothing but garbage.
Yeah.
Mais toi, ça veut dire que tous ceux-là qui sont pas sauvés, qui parlent des méchants, c'est le monde qui ne sont pas chrétiens. Ça veut dire qu'il ne faudrait pas continuer avec ça.
He's saying, should we hang out with people who aren't Christians?
We, if we're going to spend all our time with people who aren't Christians, we are going to take in that bad counsel. So we should be careful. We should hang out with non-Christians to help them come to Christ, but not to walk in their counsel. I mean, otherwise we go up in a mountain and shut ourselves off from everybody. We have to reach into a broken world. But we have to be careful not to take ungodly counsel. Yeah. But it's a good question.
If you're, let's say you're a Christian, now you have a friend who's a Buddhist, right? So they're not Christian, their philosophy comes something totally different, you know?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you spend a lot of time with them.
Yeah.
And then pretty soon you become a Buddhist. So what happened to your Christianity? You were hanging around with ungodly people, you know? Taking your counsel from other than the Bible,
yeah,
and all of a sudden your mind's filled with this Buddhism, and you become a Buddhist. Right?
There's a verse we looked at a few weeks ago in the morning service, and it was, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Mm-hmm. So if my closest friend is going to be an unbeliever, or if my boyfriend or girlfriend is going to be an unbeliever, they're going to be pulling me in another direction. A close business partner, or even a husband and a wife, it can be very tricky. So we have to be extremely careful not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And we can put ourselves in compromising situations. That's why it says to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch the unclean thing. And then you will experience the father-son or father-daughter relationship that you're meant to have. Because ungodly counsel will rub off in our lives.
Doesn't it say in the Bible, my word have I hid in your heart that you might not sin against me?
Yes.
And if you don't read the Bible, then he can't put his word in your heart.
That's the godly counsel.
The godly counsel,
yes.
God's word. But I mean,
that's the positive sign.
It and read it, now it's not being absorbed.
Yeah.
So you're more susceptible to be
swept in the other direction. We're going to get to the positive side in the next verse. This verse is dealing with the negative, what not to do. Then the next verse says which way to go, which is into the Word of God, of course. So the first thing is watch, guard your mind, guard your heart for ungodly counsel. It's wise to limit the amount of trash that you allow to go into your ears, because garbage in, garbage out. That's what happens. If you're going to hang around with people who are going to start telling dirty jokes, I can tell you, after a while, if you're going to say and listen to dirty jokes, what are you going to end up doing? You're going to be either telling them or you're going to be thinking that way. Don't go that route. Be careful. And so this is a first exhortation and encouragement that is given in the Psalms. If you want to be blessed, don't walk in ungodly counsel. So, that tells us, as Joe was saying, well, where do we get our counsel from? We'll look at that in a few more minutes. Because here's what happens if you begin to walk in ungodly counsel. The next one is what?
Stand.
You stand in the path of sinners. You know, the word path means something that's well-worn, isn't it? A well-trodden road. And he says, if you walk in ungodly counsel, then you will stand in the path of sinners. You won't say, well, I'm just going to take the advice, you know, this advice from people that are not Christians concerning the things of God, or it's okay to do this, it's okay to go there, it's okay to walk in this way, it's okay, this little sin doesn't hurt. After all, we're only human. You know, all the little excuses that we make for sin, we can make excuses for our own sin really easily, and especially if we got somebody patting us on the back and encouraging us in that direction. Before long, you will find yourself in the path of sinners. You'll find yourself standing with sinners in their path, doing what they are doing. It's a progressive thing. And when that as that happens in our life, of course, the opposite of being blessed is what? Cursed. That's the opposite. That's what we will experience in our lives. This is always the truth. God never lies. So we need to be cautious and careful about ungodly counsel, and we need to be careful about walking in the path of sinners. Because the third one, it says, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, why does he come to walk, stand, and sit?
You get comfortable after a while, you sit.
That's right. What happens is you begin to move in the wrong direction. And before long, you're standing in the wrong direction, and then you're planted in the wrong place. Totally planted. But it's interesting that he says here, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. What's a scornful person?
One who mocks God.
A mocker.
Yeah.
It's a mocker. Now, somebody who mocks or scorns or... The picture that's given here is, well, once I listened to godly counsel, but now that I have listened to ungodly counsel, now that I've stood in the path with sinners, I'm sitting in the seat of the scornful now, I will mock the very things that once I heard before that were righteous. I will mock the righteous. I will scorn the things of God. So what he's saying here is, listen, you're very blessed if you don't go down this road. But because there's the end of the road in terms of your conduct is that you will sit and mock the very things that were once perceived as precious.
My Bible says, or walk, or sit in the seat of mockers.
Mockers. Yeah. So we can see here that there's a progression, eh? And you can see that that progression is definite, and you can see what the end result of it is. And I have seen this. I have seen people who were touched by God and knew that they needed the Lord in their life, but they took on godly counsel instead. And as they took on godly counsel, I've watched them go down that road of getting involved in sin deeper and deeper, and eventually they turn and they mock the very things of God. And there's a reason for it, because you have to justify your sin. And in order to justify your sin, you have to separate yourself as far as you can from anything to do with what's righteous. And what's righteous becomes ugly so that sin can be righteous to you. So you end up calling evil good and good evil. That's what ends up happening. So this is a strong warning in this verse, isn't there?
Doesn't the Bible say in the last days that's exactly what's going to happen?
It says more and more that the entire world will go in that kind of a direction. Yeah. That's right, Joe.
And, you know, actually that interpretation, and when they take anything about relating to God away from the schools,
yeah,
you know, you're not allowed to mention God, but you can mention Muslim and all these other things, but you can't talk about God, about Jesus.
There's a lie that has been propagated that... we are a secular society. We are not a religious society. Quebec is having this going on right now. And it's a lie. What secularism is, a religion in itself. It's a religion that worships man. It's a religion that says man is master of his own fate and his own destiny. And man doesn't need accountability. Man doesn't need God. It's a religion. It's not non-religious. It is a religion in itself. And our whole nation is going in that direction rapidly.
It's almost spearheaded by the devil. Satan's behind. He's the bottom line of all that.
Of course he is.
All over the world in these situations.
Yeah.
All over the world.
Yeah.
But there's one question I have here. Okay, we can get carried away. Okay, say we're on a job site, okay? And some of us Christians could have a bit of peer pressure come on us. I'm not saying I would, but
yeah.
I'm just saying it's just an example, okay? And there's a dirty joke or whatever, or somebody starts mocking God, and you don't open your mouth.
Yeah.
You feel like there's pressure on you, say, okay?
Yeah.
And then after a while, maybe you'll do it. But if that person is truly saved, okay?
Yeah.
It's not going to stay there.
Well,
it's not going to stay there.
Certainly, there's a conviction that comes from God. Christians can go down this path, but hopefully, if they're true believers, they will become more and more miserable. And they won't be able to sit in the seat of the scornful for long, they realize, because the Spirit of God will bring conviction in their life. But if someone's not a Christian, or someone is You know, like we looked in at the wheat and the tares, or the different fish in the sea from the parables. It's possible for someone to be around the things of God, to be sympathetic towards them, and have not really trusted Christ. Then they won't have any conviction as they go down this road, maybe for a period of time. But can God rescue people from this pathway?
Oh, yes, He can.
Well, I hope so, because He's rescued us, right? Yeah. He's rescued us. The whole world goes in this direction, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This is the way of the world. God rescues people from this, yeah. And thank God that He does.
He rescued this prodigal son who was probably saved.
Yes, yes, it's the restoration
right.
story. So we can see here strong warnings, what direction not to go in, and saying there's a blessing if you don't go there. But thank God it doesn't just stay there with the negative connotation, because it says, but instead, there's an answer. Instead, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. So instead of going down this pathway, he says, you delight in the law of the Lord. You delight in the Word of God. This is a general reference to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You delight in God's Word. Now, you notice that he doesn't say it's a rote chore to read the Word of God. What does he say?
His
delight. He delights in it. He pursues this. There's something passionate in that word, isn't there? When you delight in something, what do you usually do? You do it, right? If you delight in something, if it's something that you want to do, you delight in it. And you notice what it says here, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, what does he do? He meditates day and night. So, what's the focus here?
The Lord.
The focus is the Lord, isn't it? And really, if you took the law of the Lord and from the Old Testament, and you wanted to look at what the New Testament reveals, it's the very person of Jesus Christ. Because the Word of God is a reflection of the person of God, which is the Lord Himself. But do you notice it said He meditates day and night? That it's not just a little scripture in the morning or a little scripture in the evening, but it's meditating day and night on the Word of God. Wow. Is that where you're at? Do you meditate on the Word of God day and night? Now, how does that mean? Okay, so Jen's working at the co-op, but in order to be meditating on the Word of God, she's going to get an apparatus and tape, screw it onto her head and bring it down like this with a scriptures on it, so that she can keep meditating on the Word of God while she's working.
That'd look cute.
What's that?
That'd look cute.
That'd look cute, right? And she can tell people, they say, what are you doing? I'm meditating on the Word of God. You'll have to wait. Go to the next line. I'm meditating on the Word. Will that work?
No.
That's what those little prayer beads were like, that the Pharisees or whatever used to wear, right?
Yes, the Jews would wear boxes with scripture on their heads, hanging from little cords on their head. They would wear them on their sleeves, and they would also wear them on their trim, and they would also put them in the doorposts of their house. And because of a scripture in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy. But the problem was is that they didn't read what was in the boxes. They weren't meditating on it. It became rote and ritual. But what we need to do, there are certainly pictures there to show us the Word of God should be in our head. It should be coming from our hands. It should be, we should be walking in the Word of God. Our homes ought to be a place where the Word of God rules and reigns. When we step into the doorposts of our home, we are stepping in to the place where the Word of God is front and center.
You know how the Bible talks about spirit and truth?
Yes.
Isn't that what you're talking about?
Yes. Applied.
You can't see it, touch it, and feel it, but it's still... It's there.
Yeah.
The substance.
Yeah. The Word of God, taken with the Spirit of God working in us. And you know, when it starts with the word blessed, it's telling us right from the beginning, this is a God thing. We need God to do this kind of work in us. Because God is the one that makes that happen. Suddenly, I begin to delight in the Word of God, where once I didn't. And if you're not delighting in the Word of God right now, let me encourage you, ask God. Ask the Lord. Simply pray, Lord, bring me so that to the place where I will delight in your word. He'll do it. He will cause you to begin to delight in his word in a fresh way. And this meditating on the word of God, obviously you can't be reading the scripture 24/7, but boy, you can read a scripture, you can memorize one verse in a day and carry that with you throughout the day and think about it and meditate on it. And it's amazing what God can do if you are willing to take time to think on the word of God. To meditate on something means that you're focused on it, you're taking time in this. This is the call of the believer to live this way. And I can assure you that if you meditate on the word of God day and night, it's going to affect and infect your life in a marvelous way. You will see transformations happening in your experience.
I've seen mornings, one last week, for a matter of fact. I didn't want to read the word. I just didn't want to read it. And I kept, and my flesh was just rising and rising. So God called to mind, hey, the Holy Spirit, I just prayed, the Holy Spirit, please open my heart to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And bless me, so I'll just enjoy this morning.
Yeah.
And I kept on repeatedly saying, you know what, everything gets just warm.
Yeah. I
just dove right into it, and I enjoyed every minute.
Yeah.
It was only by the power of the Holy Spirit we can enjoy the word anyway.
Yeah.
We can't enjoy the word. Our flesh can't enjoy this word.
No.
No way.
Now, to be fair, let me ask you a question. Can this be a battle? Can this be a battle for you? It certainly can, can't it? You know, I mean, when you wake up in the morning and the day starts, it's easy for everything else to take precedence and just to carry on, especially if you're busy. There's so much to get done here. But if you take time for Jesus, he will make time for you. He will make time if you will take time. I promise you this, he can make the day go a lot better. He can cause things to work in a much better way if you will make time for Jesus. Take time for Jesus, he'll make time for you.
There's a song that goes, take time for Jesus, he took time for you.
Yes.
Charlie Pride Mitchell,
when we were kids. Okay. That's good. That's better than the snakes call at night.
Yeah.
So can I encourage you and myself as well? Come fresh to the Word of God. Maybe tomorrow morning, rise up and make sure you open God's Word first and meditate on it. Get some fuel in there to start the day so that as you're going through the day, you've got strength there. God has spoken to you. And that's why I gave you this little outline for a daily quiet time. Because I need to hear from the Lord. I need God to speak into my life every single day. What does it say then? It gives an illustration now of the person who is meditating on the Word of God. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So the picture is given here. The person who is immersed in the Word of God, accompanied by the working of the Spirit of God, delighting in the Word of God, delighting in the Lord. The Bible says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. This person who is delighting in the Lord and meditating on his word day and night is like a tree that's planted by rivers of water. Now, what's the general climate in the Middle East?
Chaos.
No, the weather climate.
Desert.
It's chaos for sure.
Hot.
Hot.
Dry.
Desert climate. It's a desert climate. It really is. There's a lot of desert land. And I mean, a lot of Israel right now is blossoming all over with incredible fields of harvest. But it's because of an incredible irrigation program. places that were mostly desert are now being irrigated by water. So much so that they're actually draining the Sea of Galilee. It's dropping and dropping and dropping, and they don't even, they're going to run out if they keep going. They're looking at deep well aquifers to try and keep up the water supply. So the picture, it was not hard to find withered trees. It was not hard to find trees that were barely surviving. And so the psalmist wants us to say, to see, he gives this illustration. He says, the ones that are meditating on the word of God day and night are like a tree that's planted by rivers of water. They're like a tree in the middle of an oasis. And while all these other trees are perishing and their leaves are withering, this tree is in full bloom. It's in full bloom, and it brings forth its fruit in its season. It's a fruit-bearing tree. It's a tree that's not withering away, and it's a tree that's prospering. This is the picture that he gives. And what a picture this is. Do I want my life to prosper? Now, this is not talking about how much money we have in the bank. This is talking about spiritual prosperity, which is the real prosperity in the end. Do I want my life to prosper? Do I want to get all withered up? Again, this is not talking about getting old and wrinkly here. This is talking about being dry spiritually. Do I want fruit to be coming out of my life? Or do I want to be a fruitless person, a person who has no love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control?
Can I say one thing, Tim?
What's that?
Oh, the Bible, there's a part where it says, where does the profit of man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?
Yes.
And then on the word, you know, we're talking about soul. This morning at breakfast, we were talking about the soul, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was mentioned that there's a religious organization, I don't think they're Christian, they were saying that the soul is the body, and when you die, your soul dies. That's
yeah.
That's all there is to it, no?
Yeah.
But that's not what the Bible talks about.
No. No, we live on. For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. And God wants us to prosper. He wants our souls to prosper. The Bible says that God wants our soul to delight itself in fatness. If you want to be fat, let your soul be fat. Not your body, right? But your soul. Be filled with the Spirit of God. The promise here is life. The promise here is vitality. The promise here is spiritual prosperity. Why wouldn't I want that? And the devil is always lying to us. The devil is always seeking to deter us from this pathway because he knows the life that you'll experience. He knows the joy that you'll experience. And yet, it's amazing how often we can be fooled by him. How often we can turn away from the very source of life that is there for us and miss out on the blessings of God.
Kind of compares us to the, it's an illustration of my word here, to John 15 there, where Jesus is the vine and God the Father is the husband, and we're the branches, right?
That's right. We need to abide in him.
Through, he's going to burn the branches.
That's right. That's right. You see, the rivers of water is it's the source of life, isn't it? Jesus said he was, he's like the water of life. Oh. And a tree without water, it's done. It's done. No matter how many nutrients are in the soil, if there's no water, it's done. It's gone. And this is a picture here of the very word of God being like this water supply that takes those nutrients and brings them up the trunk into the tree. And so now he says, but the ungodly, and he gives the little illustration here of what the ungodly are like. They are not so. They're not like a tree planted by the rivers of water. They don't bring forth fruit in season. Their leaf withers, and whatever they do spiritually will not prosper. What's that? Say it again.
His branches in his soul are quite dry.
They don't have to be. We go in the Word of God. We feed from God's Word. We pray. We seek the Lord, and our soul begins to get fat. That's what we want. Yeah. There's a verse in Isaiah 55. Let's see. And this is speaking of spiritual provision. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. And I'll put that on for Jean-Marc there. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Know the fullness and the provision of God for your soul. And you don't get this by with money, do you? You get it from the Word of God. Okay, so I better go back to English here. So when you look up here and you think about the ungodly walking in ungodly counsel, then the Christian then walks in what kind of counsel?
Godly.
Godly counsel, right? Would you say? The Christian walks in godly counsel. Where does he get that godly counsel from? The Word of the Lord, right? The Christian stands in the path of the saints, not the sinners, right? Stands in the path of the saints. And I tell you, Christians that begin to cut themselves off from other believers, it won't be long before they'll be going in the wrong direction. We need fellowship. We need to be with the people of God. And finally, instead of sitting in the seat of the scornful, what seat does the Christian sit in?
Righteousness.
Yeah, well, that's the top one there, I think, the path of the righteous. What is the Christian supposed to be doing with his lips?
Praising
God, right? Instead of scorning, mocking, they're going to be what?
Praising.
Worshiping, praising God. They're going to be praising the Lord, right? Do you see the opposite of that? Because of their delight in the law of the Lord, they're going to be going in a different direction, and it's a good direction. Sitting in the seat of praise, and if you are going to go through the Psalms, you're going to see that's exactly what the psalmist is about. It's about praise, and it's about worship. It's about giving God the glory. So the picture of the ungodly are like chaff which the wind drives away. So when they wanted to winnow the grain, that is to take the chaff out of the grain, the wheat, they would put it in a basket and they would wait for a windy day and they would throw the grain up in the air. And what would happen?
The wind
blows through. The wheat is heavier than the chaff. The wheat falls back in the basket and the chaff blows away. This is the destination of the ungodly. They are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. And so the picture that's given here, he doesn't even say they're a withered tree. He doesn't even give them that much credit that they're a tree that has some life in it. He says the ungodly are like chaff which the wind drives away. There's nothing left. Nothing left. Where ungodliness rules, there is nothing left. You know, it's tragic when you see people who practice sin and continue to practice sin and go deeper and deeper in, their conscience becomes hard. Yes.
Excuse me. One of the things that occurs to me in reading this is I think of sin, sinner, deeper, deeper. I think of deliberate, bad, whatever. But the other thing I think of also is just being indifferent.
Yes.
So maybe not evil or bad or doing bad things, but would this mean that also just being indifferent to the work, to the awareness of God and the Word and going, just being like this as opposed to this or this?
Well, the thing is that there is no this.
Yeah.
It looks like this.
Warm.
But you stir up the nest of it, and you will find that there's no such thing as indifferent. When you begin to stir up the nest and speak to someone about the things of Christ and their need of Jesus Christ, you will find that very quickly you'll find them over here, or else their hearts will begin to open up. Mm-hmm. There is it. There's the impression of the in-between life, but it is not there. Yes.
A friend of mine put it as an escalator.
Yeah.
So if you stop moving, you're going down. There's no, you can't stop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jesus said, whoever does not gather with me scatters abroad. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's the impression of this, but the reality is that the march might seem slower, but the march downward is continuing. And if they continue to march downward, then the end of it will be the ungodly will not stand in the judgment. They won't be able to stand the judgment of Almighty God. They will not stand, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And so there's one or there's the other here. You know, it doesn't give us the third option. We would like to think of the third option because there seem to be some pretty nice people around who don't have faith in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. They're not like, beating people up or, you know, they're nice people. Mm-hmm. But they're nice as long as things are going to go their way. But when it comes to the gospel and the demands of a mighty God and God calling them to repentance, pride shows up. Mm-hmm. And, my goodness, Jesus spoke more against pride than he did about against adultery and fornication and all those other sins. Because that pride and self-righteousness and that I'm good enough and that I'm holy enough and I'm, you know, I go to church every Sunday. I'm a really, really good person, so I'm okay. And all of that is pointing to themselves. And they don't see the ugliness of their pride. And that's tragic.
That applies to most of our culture.
It does.
Oh, it's getting worse every day. Mm-hmm. It's just unbelievable. It's just really unbelievable listening to that CBC in the morning, some of these people are calling. It's just awful.
Yeah.
But how they're against God. And all science and
yeah.
And homosexuality and all the other, you know, how we are really the culprits here. People who are again, Christian from somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Christians are evil in the eyes of the world.
Oh. Yeah.
Hey, Gary.
Yeah.
Doesn't the Bible say that as Christians, our job is to just plant seeds and God's the one that does the watering and everything?
Yeah.
But I mean, if somebody doesn't repent and become a Christian while we're speaking to them, it's not up to us to decide. It's God the one that does that.
Well, salvation is a work. It's a work of God in the sinner's heart. Yeah. Let's just be faithful in sharing the word of God in the love of God. Mm-hmm. And looking for opportunities. And I mean, we are still to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're still to seek to make disciples. But if we don't walk humbly understanding this is a God has to do this work, then we won't be doing our, we won't be sharing prayerfully. Mm-hmm. If we are sharing prayerfully, then there'll be more opportunity, I think, you know, in terms of the work. But it is the work of God, not the work of man.
Take the words right out of my mouth.
Sinners in the congregation of the righteous, they will not be there. You see, there's a dividing line here, isn't there? In Psalm 1:5, ungodly will not stand in the judgment. They're going to face the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The great day of his wrath will come, and the Bible says, who shall be able to stand? Revelation Chapter 6, I believe it is. Who shall be able to stand? Only God's people will be able to stand. And the only reason why we'll be able to stand is because we have Christ. But the ungodly are not so. They will not stand in the judgment. They will fall. They will crumble. They will come under the wrath of a holy God. And sinners will not be found in the congregation of the righteous. They won't be there. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So we start with a certain direction and we end up with a certain destination. Isn't that right? This is the direction, this is the destination for one or the other. And that's the heart of what Psalm 1 wants to bring out to us tonight, that it's one way or the other. And may we be encouraged tonight to go all the way with Jesus. Don't hold back. Don't listen to ungodly counsel. Don't walk in, stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Guard your mind, guard your hearts. And as you do, the opposite to that is delight in the truths of God. Come and study the Word of God at Bible study. Read it on your own. Hang around with the people of God. Let our conversation be about the things of the Lord. And watch and see what the Lord does in us as we become trees planted by rivers of water. And you know, even the lost world, if you were going through the desert and you came over the crest of a hill and it was all spindly little trees there, all perishing, and suddenly you saw this tree that was flourishing, which direction would you want to go in? Why would you want to go towards that tree?
There's life there.
There's life there. That's right. You know, because that tree is there and it's flourishing. What else is there? There's water. There's water, right? And I could tell you that if we are living vitally filled with the Spirit of God, we're walking in the Spirit, we are going to be attractive to a broken world. There will be lost people who will notice life there. And they will be drawn to it. They will want to know what makes you tick. They will want to have that same life that you have. There will be some that will be drawn. Now, some will reject, but some will be drawn to that light.
Unless you're walking around saying, look at me, I'm righteous. You know? Then they'll say...
No, it's not that way, isn't it? It's supernaturally comes out of our life. Right.
Yeah.
Alors, quand tu veux bien faire, pour rien, tu as toutes les choses qui tord, qui vont rien.
Yeah. Whenever he wants to do something, there seems to be something that he rarely seems to find the time to make the correct thing.
Yes, that's the truth. That's what Paul wrote in. We'll go there for a second. In Romans chapter 7, verse 19. I'll put this on for you here.
He uses water a lot, doesn't he? Huh?
Car je ne fais pas le bien que je veux. Et je fais le mal que je ne veux pas. The good that I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. The bad, I got to go back to the English here. Whatever. The good that I want to do, I don't do. But the evil I don't do, that's what I practice. It's a struggle. And that's why I need the Lord. That's why I need every plus I can get. I need to be in the Word of God. And I can ask the Lord, Lord, bring me back to the Word of God. These other things aren't as important as being with Jesus. Do you know what, when the rest of the Pharisees, after Jesus Christ had risen from the dead and gone back to heaven, and the apostles were out preaching and teaching, and there was something that they noticed. They saw that these men were unlearned. They knew they were unlearned. They were a bunch of fishermen. But they remembered something. It says they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. They knew these guys were unlearned. They couldn't understand why they could do and say the things they were saying. But then they realized it's because they had been with Jesus. And that was the unbelievers. The unbelievers noticed it. They said, this has got to be a God thing. Because where else did it come from? Where else does that life come from? It can only come from
the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Yeah. But they noticed it and they said it's got to be because they've been with Jesus. I hope that people could say that of us in our life. I'm going to close with this verse from Jeremiah 2:13. My people have committed two evils. They forsook me, the fountain of living waters, and dug themselves wells or cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, doesn't that sound ridiculous? Wouldn't it be ridiculous if you had a beautiful well with the best water in the world and you plugged up the good well and you went and dug a, where there was no, a well with no water in it, and you tried to get your water from that. That's how ridiculous it is to look away from the Lord. Jesus said, if anybody's thirsty, come to me and drink. Come and drink. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for, Lord, the privilege of opening the Bible and seeing the wonderful provision that you have for us. And now, Lord, as we take the bread and cup and remember that you were crucified for us to win us to yourself, we are reminded tonight of the incredible, wonderful love of God. That, Lord, you have given us this time to reflect and to remember that you died for us, that you gave yourself completely away. Lord, the water's free, but it cost you everything to provide it. And we want to thank you tonight for that. And pray, Lord, that we would take advantage of the water that you provide, the fullness of the provision that is ours in Jesus Christ. Oh God, turn our thoughts, our minds, our hearts towards you. Oh Lord, do a deep work in our souls, Lord. We look at a lost world. We look at people here in Shedikamp who need the Lord. And we can talk about it all day. We can, Lord, we can put the building up on the hill and we can have it all fancy and shiny. But oh God, what we need is that our hearts are right with the Lord. Or none of it will mean anything. What we need, O Lord, is to be drinking at the fountain every day. We need to be those who are meditating on your word day and night. We need to be those, Lord, who are filled with the Spirit of God, so that we are trees planted by the rivers of water. O God, have mercy on us, we pray. We ask, Lord, that we might be a blessing to others, that we would not be those who are withering, but those who are prospering. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.